Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Matthew. The scripture reading is Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Thank you to Dave, Glynis, Julie, Ed, and Don for being involved in the video.
Welcome. We are glad you're here with us. There are those of you who are in person, and we welcome those watching online when they view our services, and thank you for your presence. We have a number of announcements. Happy birthday to Diane, and happy anniversary to Steve and Jenny. Marie has a new phone number. You might want to jot that down, or I think it's in the bulletin online and other places. There is a plant sale, the Lincoln Garden Club and Horticultural Society, having a plant sale ongoing at Diane's house. Our prayers are with Jim and Gloria and Amber as Gloria has moved to McNally House for palliative care. And there are a number of people who are ill, ailing, aged. We pray for those also. The people that we each know that may be having struggles with their physical health or mental health issues. Those people we are praying for also. To read a verse from Psalms 8, verse 3. I'll start at verse 1 and we'll go through verse 3. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? It is a great time of season that we are in to enjoy the works of God's handiwork, the beauty of springtime. Let's go to him in prayer now. Father, we thank you for this season of growth and regeneration, for beauty that surrounds us and reminds us of your creative power to inspire us. We pray for those with health concerns, for healing, for comfort. We pray for Gloria, Jim, and Amber. And we pray that your hand be on them and bless us all, Father, with understanding and compassion and your grace. Open our hearts to worship you today. In Christ's name, amen.
Dave just shared a reading from the Psalms that talks about the glory of God being manifest in this creation. The first song that we're going to sing today is a song about glory. And I know some of you Great Lakes students have been studying glory this year in your Bible classes. I know that because I was in one this week. And so the glory of the creation leaves people without an excuse that there is a creator and that there is a God. So the first song is about that, and then the last verse it's encouraging people to accept that glory and live that glory. The second song that we're going to sing talks about the glory coming to this world, faithful love. The third song is about the community that's created by people who believe.
Good morning. So good to see you all. I had the opportunity to go to a conference last weekend in Boston with Julie's cousin, Guy, and one of my best friends who was speaking. It was a wonderful time. I've known Guy and Kathy like forever, so we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. It was one of those, you know, when you're with your friends and you have that cathartic laugh that just, it was worth all that airport stuff just for the laughs. But there was also some really, really great lessons. And for me, it really made me realize afresh how, as a grandparent, but certainly as a parent, if you're a parent, our grandchildren and children are part of our ministry. They're a huge part of our ministry, and certainly for me. One of the things, the guy had this fabulous slide that he talked about the living out of a life as a follower of Jesus, appealing to our children. And I could never imitate it, so I'm not going to try. I'm just going to read off of this slide. But he just went, if you've ever seen Guy speak, he's an incredibly powerful speaker, and he's alive, and he's just all over the place. And he's, anyway, yeah, it's like, I can't do that. It's just a little bit too much. But this huge slide came up, and in the middle was this giant no, and all of these things all around. So I'm just going to read some of them. No calling anyone a fool, no laughing or telling dirty jokes, no being jealous, no fighting back, no following horoscopes, no being a hypocrite, no being rude, no being lukewarm, no boasting, no judging others, no being lazy, no being bitter, no oversleeping, no being unproductive, no dropping any four-letter words, no hating, no not working, no being mean, no being greedy, no being gay, no getting drunk, no being debaucherous, and on and on and on. He said, how would that be appealing? how would that be appealing? And that really gave me pause to think about how our ministry is with our kids. And one of the most, you know how you hear somebody says something and it just sticks with you and you just, it's like, oh my gosh, that's like the most brilliant thing. Ed and Rhonda used to have dinner with their kids, and they didn't get up until their kids got up. And it was like, I so wish that I had thought of that, because it's like brilliant. And they said sometimes they were there for, you know, 2.5 seconds, and sometimes they were there for a really long time because their kids wanted to keep talking. And I thought, wow, that is really cool. I'm just going to weave kind of three things that I picked out of this that I feel like are part of my ministry. And, you know, if you think about, you know, harvesting, and Julie's going to talk a little bit about that in the scriptures, and I'm sure Don will as well, just how that is part, such a huge part of our harvest. So we really can't tell, our kids how Jesus is. And certainly we can't tell him all the things that he's against and have that be appealing. And there's a huge part of us as adults that have lived for a long time. We really do understand weakness and brokenness that our kids often go through. And it's really important that we share that with them. The best place to learn about Jesus is through our example and how we are every day. And we know that little kids, they learn a whole pile about the culture of our family by how we are with them, how we are with other people. And they're watching all the time. And it's the same with our little kids and our big kids, our teenagers, our tweens, our everythings, even our own grown children. They learn through how they are, how we are with other people. and being, you know, trusting in God, the conversations we have at the dinner table, sharing the things that didn't go well in our lives and how we overcame them by focusing in a spiritual way. And then the one thing that really hit me the most, and this really, really, really challenged my heart. I've been a Christian for as long as my younger daughter is alive, and she just celebrated her 36th birthday. So I was baptized right after she was born. And at the time, it was like, oh my gosh, I could never be a Christian. Like, for 5 years, it's going to be forever. And now it's, you know, 36 years. But, and of course, I've had whoa ups and whoa downs all along the way. But when I was baptized, I took on Jesus as my identity. So, the Bible says that we're clothed with Christ, but I took on Jesus as my identity. So, instead of saying, and in this conference, they talked about lots of different ways that, you know, kids are really trying to fit in, especially, you know, sort of mid, like late, what would they call tweens, and then that sort of that mid-teenage, but it doesn't really go away because we're all trying to fit in. But they will hop on different bandwagons in order to have an identity. They want to belong. They don't necessarily want to belong to their parents, mind you, but they want to belong. And when I became a Christian, I took on Jesus as my identity. That he's my number one belong. Who am I? I am Glynis, who's a follower of Jesus. And that really hit me. Do I still choose this? If someone said to me, you know, like, who are you? You know, and I've retired, so I've kind of got a new identity. I'm not a teacher anymore. I'm not a this anymore. I'm not any of those things. You know, I paint furniture now. But am I still keeping Jesus as my identity? So, as a disciple of Jesus, this is what I chose, and this is what I must constantly choose. And that really challenges my heart. So if you would join me in a word of prayer, I know that when we take our communion, it really is a time that we can kind of re-cleave to God, re-establish in our minds who we are in Christ as believers, that we were baptized in, that we were baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. But even if we're not believers, even if we're not Christians, that we recognize that this is what Jesus did for us. He actually died for us. His example was one of not just, you know, laying down his life, but he actually laid down his life. He agreed to die for us. That's how important we are. So if you would pray with me, and then we'll move into communion. Dearest Lord God, there are so many things that distract us, that pull us away from you. And God, I pray that you would allow the grape juice and the bread that we take to fill us up. And even as we take it into our bodies, God, that we can feel that mystery that the Holy Spirit gives us to flood us with renewed zeal for being a Jesus follower. God, help us to remember our ministry is to our kids. Our ministry is to the young, and God, help us to be that example and to remember that and make our choices accordingly. Difficult, God, and we need you every hour. We need you every minute. God, help us just to remember that. It's so hard to remember. So as we take our communion, we bring ourselves to you as people who are fallen, who are, you know, we got our issues. And God, I just pray that we can commit those to you in deep and abiding trust, God, that you will remind us through our taking of communion that you are on our side, you are rooting for us all the way, that you love us dearly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hear advice in our world in many different ways. And I remember one time a fellow named Glennis Wright came to Great Lakes and gave the graduation address. And he was a very humble but yet wise servant of God for many, many years, for decades. He was a Ontario Supreme Court judge. And in his talk to the students that graduation ceremony, he said something that stuck in my head. And he said, I have the rights to have someone come and take me in a limousine to my job, but I choose to ride the streetcar. And as I ride into work, I pray to God that he will help me make wise judgments today. So for many years as I went to Great Lakes, that was often my practice, that I would make wise decisions to help my students learn and help them to grow closer to God. So we can hear advice in lots of different places, and so we're going to be contemplating some scripture here in a moment, and we're going to sing a song about scripture. These words come down through the decades, through the millenniums, as advice to us as to how we can be, as Glennis suggests, penetrating our culture for God. So I'd invite you to stand as we sing this song, please.
I'm reading from the book of Matthew, just a few verses today. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field."
Good morning, everyone. Glad that you are with us today. You're going to be really happy that you are here today, because this is going to be a very brief message today. Have you ever considered or thought, what does the kingdom of God actually look like? I mean, when I was a child and I heard the expression kingdom of God, I thought that meant, well, that must be heaven. But the more I read scripture, I realize that's not what Jesus was talking about. The kingdom of God is how we live out the glory of God, the example of Jesus in our lives in the world today. We're part of this wonderful kingdom of God. But what does it look like? And the book of Matthew is an interesting book. What Matthew really wants us to understand is, here's how to live the kingdom walk on the earth today. And Matthew divides up his teachings in five sections of the book, which may not mean too much to very many people, except that immediately, five sections of teaching? That's the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So what Jesus is doing is he's going back to the beginning, and then he's bringing people forward to this is how we live today, the kingdom of God. And I got to witness that this week. I had the honor, the privilege to sit with a person and listen to this wonderful woman who every day lives out the kingdom of God. I'm talking about Gloria, the kingdom of God. She is a living example of the kingdom of God. And when I was chatting with her, she really didn't want to talk about herself. She wanted to talk about us. How are we doing? How are things going at the church? And she just had this glow about her, this smile about her, even though she's living in dire straits with very poor health. And she wants all of us to know that she knows so many of you are praying for her because she can feel it. It's not just words. She can feel the thinking, the contemplation, the prayers of so many people. And sometimes, you know, you hear the expression, well, I'm praying for you. She knows we are praying for her. And she wants us to know how much she appreciates that. So today I just want to look at a couple of comments from the book of Matthew itself. The book of Matthew, it more than anything else, I think, is this is the kingdom walk. This is how we live it out. And it's not necessarily easy. And I'm going to be all over the place, and I'm not going to necessarily use a lot of scriptures through it all, but I just wanted to look at a couple of examples. And I love what Henry Nouwen said when it comes to the Beatitudes. One of the first things we grab in the book of Matthew, after the long genealogy of all these people, and then Jesus comes along, and then he begins this great teaching beginning in Matthew 5. And for many of us, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are just wonderful books that we like to read. So Jesus begins to teach in Matthew 5. It says, "And now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." He taught the disciples. And then the disciples would go out into the world and teach as well. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And I'm going to stop now. It's not really so much a teaching. I think he looks at all these people who are looking for answers. Some of them were very religious people, but they weren't happy. Their religion didn't bring any goodness or glory to their life. It was a to-do list. I have to follow these rules all the time, and nobody can follow those rules. And Jesus comes along, and he looks at the crowd, and this is what I think he's saying. You are the kingdom of God. You may not feel that way, but I created you to be that way. You are the kingdom of God. You are blessed when you mourn because you know that God comforts you. You know that when your life is turned upside down, God is sitting right beside you. And that's what we need to remember. No matter what's happening in our life, you're not alone. God knew us before we were born. He knew the exact time and places in which we would live. And he promises us, "I will never, never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And then the new world comes and he's still with us. So blessed are the poor in spirit. You have the kingdom of God. You are a living example of the kingdom of God. And because of that, you can comfort others. And because of being meek, we can really grow in this world. And for those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, it's an ever-flowing buffet of the Spirit of God. You can never eat enough of the Spirit of God. It's always going to be there. And so Jesus sees all of these people, and they're just trying to figure things out, and Jesus identifies them by saying, "You are the kingdom of God." So that's my sermon. Hope you enjoyed it. And all I want to do now is just kind of do a couple of highlights through this steep spiritual climb. There's a list of names where God's plan, a family tree from captivity, from the people of Abraham, all the way through. And this always blows me away because I forget about it sometimes, is you look at these great, great people of the Bible, men and women, and they're all part of this family of God. And then, bing, we realize, and it's hard to remember that, we're part of that family. We're part of that kingdom. So you go in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or a lot of the other books where they begin with this, all this long list of names. Go ahead and try reading and pronouncing them. Yeah. We're part of them. It's true. I mean, if we lived back there, maybe our names would be in the Bible. You're part of, you were the son of, and it just goes all the way back. And today, we're part of it too. And so when Jesus begins teaching, he brings people together, and of course there were some that wanted to criticize him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but there was this large picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. And I thought about this in a unique way, and I think it was Henry Nouwen that kind of brought this up to me. In Matthew 5, when he says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down." This is going to be a relaxing time. "His disciples came to him, and he began teaching them." And in my mind, I see other people coming along as well. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." On and on and on. And then I realized, I don't think that's teaching. I think what he's saying is, you're looking for the kingdom of God on earth. And the way to do that is to understand you're blessed because you're not arrogant. You're poor in your own spirit. You want to serve other people. And you're going to be comforted because you're going to mourn. There are things in this world, and it's going to be difficult to live with these difficulties and these hurts and deaths and all of these things. But there's someone who will comfort you, and that's God himself. And then those who are meek, it's not weak. Those who are meek, I think of people I was trying to picture people, and I could picture quite a few, meek people, not weak people, brilliant, strong, welcoming, wonderful, fruit of the Spirit people, meek. They inherit the earth, meaning this is how God wanted us to live on the earth today. So he also helps us with, but people are going to misuse you because people misuse God every day. And people misused Jesus because they thought he was not, I guess, true. And so he comes along and he sits down and he says, "You are a blessing to others." So this kingdom of God is really a profound aspect. Matthew goes throughout all of his book talking about this kingdom from Abraham all the way through. And then in the Lord's Prayer, he reminds us, may your will, O Lord, be done on earth as it is in heaven. He becomes king on the earth through Jesus. And Matthew is profoundly weaving together the story of God for us to remember from generations to generation to generation to generation. And please help all of us to remember that we are part of it. Who knew we were in the Bible? And we are. Matthew is demonstrating how Jesus is showing God's kingdom on the earth all throughout. And Jesus comes along and people ask him, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people think I am? And of course their response was, well, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're someone else. And then the question, but what about you? Who do you say I am? That question is still relevant today. Who do we say Jesus is? He's not just a name, but he's this one who said, I will give everything of myself to you. My life, everything. He pours out his love. So the kingdom of God sounds special, but sometimes it's a hard climb. But he reminds us, I am redefining what the kingdom of God is all about. It's going out into this world. I see you as blessed. I see you as peacemakers. I see you as people who are making a significant difference in this world. I see you when great trouble comes along. See, I'm saying all of these things because I experienced it this week. You know, here's Gloria with a smile, and she's listening, and everything is right there. And her sweetness, her love, her joy, her peace, her patience, her kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, it was all right there, just right there. I went to encourage her. Guess who gets encouraged? Yeah. And I think that's Jesus. I think that's the Jesus story. So, just as the Son of Man, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's an encouragement for us to do what we can to help others who are hurting. And John says, but if you walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, as Gloria is in the light, you have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. So on the cross, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, it's still relevant today. Forgive us when we don't know what we're doing, but thank you for reminding us to stay close to you, that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, somebody help me, but for the sins of the whole world of which we are a part. And Peter reminds us that we're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, and then in John, when he writes Revelation, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. I picture Matthew walking. Jesus was called a peripatetic teacher. He walked. He doesn't do what I do. Come listen to a sermon. Jesus went out into the world and declared the kingdom of God. Here's what it looks like to be part of the kingdom of God. It was an example of living out the kingdom of God. And here in Matthew 5, it's a reminder that his shed blood is that forgives us all of our sins. And so I pray today that this brief message is just a little bit helpful. I was always confused growing up, even in a very religious family. What does the kingdom of God mean? And immediately as a child, I thought, well, it means heaven, going to heaven. And I guess that's right. But I think more than anything else, the kingdom of God is the living example of staying close to Jesus and walking with him and demonstrating that by how we treat one another. And so I conclude with what the fruit of the Spirit always reminds us of. And I see Gloria in this all the way through, and even more, of love and of joy and of peace. Here's the sweet Gloria, you know, in pain, but a smile. There's a connection. She's very dedicated to Christ Jesus, very dedicated to her family. And she wants us to know she's very dedicated to you. She is part of this kingdom of God. Thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, to the present, today, and the future, however long that will be. We belong to the family of God. This kingdom of God in Matthew is a climb. And Jesus welcomes all of us to climb together. Amen.
I mentioned earlier about praying while I was going to school. I don't want to leave the impression that everything went well because stupid Mr. Ed would show up. And I'm glad that Jesus is in my life, that I have a chance to be a person of glory in the world. Yeah, to be an example, but sometimes stupid shows up, and that's just a reality. That's just a reality that we live in, that stupid shows up. But Jesus has done enough to overcome our stupid. This last song is about sometimes the decisions that we make are not good decisions. Sometimes things happen to us that we have no control over. But this hymn reminds us to be still and our souls be still and have confidence in our Lord.
I just want to say, wow, how things pulled together in this worship service, and interconnected. Ed's songs, Glennis's thoughts at the table, Don's message, the glory of God, being in Christ, being life changed, the kingdom of God. It's really impressive how the Spirit of God works in us. But one thing was coming to my head, and I'm sorry, but you all have played the game of tag. And what do you say when you touch someone? You're it. Kingdom of God. God touches you and says, you're it. It's pretty simple. But to me, it just pulled everything together here very well, how the Spirit of God works in us. I didn't have anything to do with the organization of the thoughts of this worship service. I know Don sometimes will give us an email saying what he's going to speak on, so it gives some hints to some people to kind of pull some thoughts together. I'm sorry I didn't do that this morning. Earlier this morning, however, these verses came to my head, and I'll close with those instead of a word of prayer. In Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether it's in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. No slide graphic, copyright 2022, Strength and Weakness. All rights reserved, used by permission. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.